नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। This is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapters number 7, and we're on text number 21. Shri Prajapataya Uchuho Deva Deva Mahadeva भूतात्मन् भूतभावन त्राहि नः शरणापन्नान् त्रैलोक्यदहनाद्विषात्। देवदेव महादेव भूतात्मन् भूतभावन त्राहि नः शरणापन्नांस् त्रैलोक्यदहनाद्विषात्। देवदेव महादेव भूतात्मान् भूतभावन त्राहि मा नः शरणापन्नांस् त्रैलोक्यदहनाद्विषात्। Ladies. Shri Prajapataya Uchuhu. The Prajapatis said, Deva Deva, O Lord Mahadev, best of the demigods, Mahadeva, O great demigod, Bhuta Atman, O life and soul of everyone in this world, Bhuta Bhavana, O the cause of happiness and flourishing of all of them, Trahi, deliver, Naha, us, Sharana, Apannan, who have taken shelter at your lotus feet, Trailokya, of the three worlds, Dahanat, which is causing the burning, Vishat, from this poison. Again, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, text number 21. The Prajapatis said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadev, supersoul of all living entities, and the cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. Please repeat. The Prajapatis said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadeva, supersoul of all living entities, and cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation, why should he be approached for protection, which is given by Lord Vishnu? Lord Brahma creates and Lord Shiva annihilates, but both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu and are known as Shaktiyavesh avatars. They are endowed with a special power like that of Lord Vishnu, who is actually all-pervading in their activities. Therefore, whenever prayers for protection are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Lord Vishnu is indicated, for otherwise Lord Shiva is meant for destruction. Lord Shiva is one of the Ishwaras, or the controllers known as Shakti Avesh Avataras. Therefore, he can be addressed as having the qualities of Lord Vishnu. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahaganargunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahaganalalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikakanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prahunityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Deva Deva Mahadeva Bhutatman Bhutabhavana Trahi Nah Sharanapannan Trailokya Dahanat Vishat. The Prajapati said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadev, supersoul of all living entities, and the cause of their happiness and prosperity, we've come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. This is a long story, and there's any number of places, I suppose, that one can check in or out of this story and consider that the beginning or the end. In some sense, we're talking about what we call Samudra Manthana, the churning of the ocean of milk. Actually, if you recall the context here, Maharaj Parikshit is eager to hear about all the different manus. And therefore, all these different manus are being described. And whenever he has a particular question about something, that is being described in more detail. For example, Gajendra was the last pastime that we heard, the last incarnation we heard about. And now we're hearing about, we can say, Lord Kurma. There are several Vishnu avatars in this pastime of Samudra Manthan. And the topic of avatars is exhaustively described in Srila Rupa Goswami's book, Laghu Bhagavatamritam. Whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence, theological essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam is described by Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Srila Rupa Goswami has filled out the particulars that support that book in his Laghu Bhagavatamritam. And the particular topic of the Laghu Bhagavatamritam, you can say, is actually to prove systematically that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a way of doing that, necessarily we have to describe the different Vishnu avatars and the expansions from Lord Krishna on the basis of the first canto famous verse, Ete Changsha Kalah Pungsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So that we can see some of this here. Now, in particular, we're talking about Lord Rudra, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions him as well. While he's talking about his vibhutis, or his opulences. And vibhutis are another aspect of this incarnation of the Lord. He says, Rudranam Shankarashchasmi Vittesho Yaksharakshasam Vasunam Pavakashchasmi Meruh Shikarinamaham. In this pastime, we have seen already that both Lord Shiva and Mountain Meru have played a particularly prominent role. Here we see the demigods and the demons alike are suffering under the excruciating weight of this mountain of gold. It's quite possible in this world to have too much of a good thing. And many of these demigods and demons were actually crushed to death trying to carry this mountain over to the ocean. And even once they got the mountain into the ocean, still it's a problem. So anyway, therefore the Lord has incarnated as Ajita. Sometimes Ajita is considered to be another name of Lord Kurma. It's not entirely clear to me, at least, that Ajita and Kurma are exactly the same, because the Lord appeared as Ajita to hold, to sit atop the mountain, and then he disappeared, and then he came again as Kurma to act as the pivot, as that's described. So in Laghu Bhagavatamritam, chapter 3, text 66, we hear from the purport that another name of Lord Kurma is Ajita, and by that name he's included in the Srimad Bhagavatam, among the Manvantara avatars. That the prayers to Lord Kurma by Arima and other residents of Hiranmayavarsha are described elsewhere in the fifth canto. And Lord Brahma has described this incarnation to Narad as follows from the second canto, quote, "The primeval Lord then assumed the tortoise incarnation in order to serve as a resting place or pivot for the Mandara mountain, which was acting as a churning rod. The demigods and demons were churning the ocean of milk with the Mandara mountain in order to extract nectar. The mountain rotated back and forth, scratching the back of Lord Tortoise, who, while partially sleeping, was experiencing an itching sensation." That's from 2nd Canto, Chapter 7, Text 13. Later on in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says in Chapter 4, Text 1, "As far as the Manvantara avatars are concerned, a Manvantara avatar is Lord Mukunda appearing among the demigods, usually for the purpose of helping Indra by killing his enemies." Is that the case here? Is Lord Vishnu help? Is he helped the devatas? And is he, ultimately, as we're going to see, he's going to roast the demons. So that's, we know the story, that the demons wanted to choose the head of the serpent once they saw that the devatas had done that, and they got roasted for it later on. So anyway, in the word manvantara, antara means a period of time. Antara means a few things. It also means a difference, bheda. But in other words, manvantara refers to the period in which a particular manu reigns. And there are quite a few manus, so there's quite a few manvantaravatars. In the second canto, 2.7.20, Lord Brahma gives a general description of the manvantaravatars as follows, quote, "As the many manvantara incarnations, as the manvantara incarnations, the Lord has descended into each of the manu dynasties and ruled over the miscreant kings, subduing them with his powerful wheel weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his reigns were characterized by his glorious fame, which spread all over the three lokas, and above them to the planetary system of Satyaloka, the topmost in the universe." A text 4.15 of the Laghu Bhagavatamrita also lists Ajita or Kurma among the Manvantaravatars. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text number 322, mentions that there are nearly 500,000 manvantaras in one universe alone. So you can imagine. You take all the universes together, it's asankhya, as Chaitanya Charitamrita later says. So here, in this verse today, Srila Prabhupada, he says that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are both avesharupas, aveshakti avesha avatars. And that's an unusual idea. Usually we think of Brahma and Vishnu, if we think of them as Vishnu's avatars at all, we consider them to be what kind of avatar? Guna avatar. Srila Prabhupada many times has said, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, they all three act as guna avatars. Now, Madhya Lila chapter 20, text 246, also mentions Brahma among the Avesh avatars, while chapter 20, text 348 says that they are innumerable. Chapter 20, text 311 calls Lord Shiva as, or describes Lord Shiva as, Shiva Maya Shakti Sanghi, Tamo Gunavesha. So he is associated with Maya, the Maya energy, and he's also imbued or empowered with this tamoguna, you can say, for managing the tamoguna at least. So who are these demigods addressing? Are they addressing Lord Shiva or are they addressing Lord Vishnu? Srila Prabhupada is quoting in his purport well, he's paraphrasing, actually. The rhetorical question was raised by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that why should we be approaching Lord Shiva here, because Lord Shiva is not the one who's generally in charge of Lokapalana, but rather he's Sanghara. He's charged with destroying everything. So instead of destruction, they're hoping that he'll give them protection. In their capacity as the Guna avatars, Lord Brahma creates and Lord Shiva annihilates, but both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu. There's a few ways in which they're incarnations of Vishnu. They're Guna avatars, they're Shakti Avesh avatars, they can be considered empowered living beings, at least Brahma can be considered like that. So they're endowed with a special power like that of Lord Vishnu, who is actually all-pervading in their activities. If Vishnu is all-pervading in your activities, that means you're acting on behalf of Vishnu, it would seem. Therefore, whenever prayers are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Vishnu is indicated, for otherwise Lord Shiva is meant for destruction. Only when he's empowered like this can the Vaishnavas pray to Lord Shiva as Vishnu. So, again, Prabhupada reiterates that he's a Shakti Avesh avatar. Therefore, he can be addressed as having the qualities of Lord Vishnu. Now, Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami have adopted a slightly different approach. Sridhar Swami brings up a verse to the effect, according to Jiva Goswami, that whenever there's a question of offering prayers, I mean, Shiva and Vishnu, they're both Nirguna and they're Saguna as well. But when it comes to the protection of praying for protection, then they don't see any difference between them. Jiva Goswami explains. He says, Stutishcha mahimastu yamana hi deva viryena varadhante. And this is a quote he's taking from Vedic logic, that when devas are being praised, then their potency increases. And why would the devas want to increase the potency of Lord Shiva here? And he answers that question as well. Kala kuta nashanartham. They're hoping that Lord Shiva will destroy the poison. Actually, it's not explicit in the text here that they're not explicitly asking for that, but it's understood. Now, in his commentary on text number 35 of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada actually suggests that the devas have a mundane motive, which we can visit in just a moment here. When the demigods offer, this is his purport to text 35, when the demigods offered these prayers to Lord Shiva, their inner purpose was to please him so that he would rectify the disturbing situation created by the Halahala poison. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.20, Kamais tais tai hritagyanaha prapadyante anyadevataha. When one worships demigods, this is certainly because of deep-rooted desires he wants fulfilled by the mercy of those demigods. People are generally attached to the worship of demigods for some motive. And that at least implies that the devatas are approaching him on this level. So Jiva Goswami then goes on to point out that there are many things Lord Shiva has spoken himself in the Bhagavatam that indicate that he knows that his Shakti, whether we take him as Vishnu directly or we take him as a Shakti Avesh avatar, Lord Shiva considers that his potency is coming from Vishnu. So, For example, he quotes three verses, and later on in this chapter, text 40, he says, "My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is very pleased, and when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me." This is the significance of the word Buddha Bhavana. Buddha Bhavana means he makes everyone happy. All the living creatures, all created things, actually, are made happy by him. So that's Buddha Bhavana. And according to Viraghavacharya, Buddhatman means the super soul of all living beings. So Lord Shiva can be considered super soul as well, at least indirectly. The next verse that Jiva Goswami quotes is from 9th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 56. And there Lord Shiva said, "My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness, cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord." So even if we take him as a guna in his gunavatar aspect as the destroyer, he still depends upon Lord Vishnu for that shakti. Then in Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 23, Jiva Goswami also quotes Lord Shiva, "I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements, and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself, like birds bound by a rope. Only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain, and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being." So it would seem as if there is no real contradiction here. Anyone who studies the Laghu Bhagavatamrita can see that there are overlapping categories of avatars. Sometimes one avatar can be considered in a different category. So here we have no real conflict between the conception of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu as guna avatars, or as Prabhupada said here, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also as Shakti Avesh avatars, because either way, all Shakti is coming from Sarva Shaktiman, Lord Vishnu. So these are some things we can think about in the commentary. Commentaries of the Acharyas. Now I'm going to add at this point that the prayer that we're hearing here is actually very significant and very timely. The devatas have concluded here, in Prabhupada's translation at least, Trailokidahanad Vishat Trahi Naha Sharanapannans. We are surrendered unto you, therefore you please save us from what? Trailokidahana Vishat. From this poison which is burning the whole worlds. Do we experience that there's poison burning all three worlds right now? It looks that way. Certainly it's burning this world. So, I mean, I was speaking with one devotee the other day who said he was just studying the pastime of Krishna and his chastisement of the Kaliya serpent. And so we began to talk about the condition of the Yamuna River. And in fact, the Yamuna River can make a prayer that's very similar to this one at this moment. Because, in case you don't know, the situation with the Yamuna is very grave right now. So, now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. Yamuna can say this as well. We can also say this. In the 6th canto, chapter 5, text 28, purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "In Kali Yuga, people cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned here, drinking only water and eating only air for many months." This is from that context. "One cannot imitate such a process, but at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling." intoxication actually means to become toxic. Just something to consider. To become toxified, we might say. Anyone can easily practice this tapasya, and then the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. Do we hear that from Bhagavad Gita? Anybody know the verse? Yeah. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani manishina. Twice he tells us that even a purified person, even the munis, can be purified further by three things: sacrifice, charity, and austerity. So they should never be given up. Nakaryam or natyajyam, he says elsewhere. So Prabhupada continues here. If possible, one should bathe in the waters of the Ganges or Yamuna. If possible. It's no longer possible. I'll explain why in a moment. Or in the absence of the Ganges and Yamuna, one may bathe in the water of the sea. This is an item of austerity. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavana and another in Mayapur Navadvip. There, one may bathe in the Ganges or Yamuna, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect and return back home, back to Godhead. About 6 months ago, I went to the Yamuna at Brahmandaghat, where we have the movies of and the photographs of Srila Prabhupada bathing enthusiastically with his disciples at Brahmandaghat. And I was so shocked at what I saw that it brought tears to even my eyes. From one bank of the Yamuna to the other bank of the Yamuna, there was a blanket of 2-foot-high blanket of solid soap suds. And I looked upstream and saw the same thing as far as I could see. And I looked downstream and I saw the same thing as far as I could see. Clearing away the soap suds, I gathered a handful of what I thought is Yamuna Jal to offer back to the Yamuna. And it was translucent. It was not transparent. It was a blackish sort of... Anyway, I poured it out from my hands, and it was very difficult to get it off my hands. It was viscous. And this is the condition of the Yamuna. 20 times the acceptable limit set by the government of India, 20 times over that, the Yamuna had 15 years ago, when there was a book written about this by Dr. David Haberman of University of Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. His book is called River of Love in an Age of Pollution. It's a very recommended book, very eye-opening. Stats are all given there, and some of the spiritual background as well. Anyway, so 2 years ago, the GBC made a statement on this topic. It says here that currently 100% of the water from the Yamuna is blocked above Delhi. And this water is diverted for industries and irrigation. Below the dams above Delhi, there is simply a dry riverbed. The water that we presently find in the Yamuna riverbed is runoff from the Delhi sewage system and from the streets of Delhi and the towns above Vrindavan. There is that the Yamuna surges out of the mountainside in great enthusiasm, according to one Vaishnava writer, eager to associate in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in Vrindavan. She comes surging out of the mountainside of the Himalayas. By the time she reaches the plains, 90% of that water is shunted off into Himachal Pradesh and Uttaranchal for agricultural purposes. Some 10% of that water reaches Delhi, and of that 10%, 100% is used up by Delhi. Therefore, there is not a drop of water that comes into the Yamuna at Vrindavan that has not either been passed through a factory or through a human body. 15 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago now, one of the chief priests of the Radhanaman temple, Srivats Goswami, broke his 5-centuries-long family tradition of bathing only in the Yamuna River. The Raranaman temple Goswamis have their own bathing ghat where they go, where they used to go, I should say. Most of the temples in Vrindavan are now bathing the deities in Bisleri water, not Yamuna water, because the Yamuna is so carcinogenic. Farmers there are getting sick. The vegetables are of who knows what kind of rasa is within them from this Yamuna gel, so-called poison. Highly carcinogenic river. So the governmental authorities in Delhi have suggested some feasible methods for, again, allowing the Yamuna water to flow in Vrindavan to divert the sewage elsewhere. So the GBC has stated, this is in 2012 again, whereas there is not even one drop of water from the Yamuna River to be found in the Yamuna riverbed in Vrindavan, whereas all the original waters are diverted before River Yamuna enters Vraj, Vrindavan, whereas only sewage and runoff, which comes from upstream Delhi, flows in the Yamuna River bed at present. The sewage is partially treated and is extremely dangerous for humans to come in contact with. There are many credible and official studies verifying this contamination. Whereas any contact with the water from in the Yamuna riverbed is hazardous for health of devotees and general public, the water carries several antibiotic-resistant bacteria, which can be the cause of death. In addition, many viruses, toxic chemicals, and toxic metals are carried by the water. Whereas there are methods by which the original river, Yamuna River water can again flow to Vrindavan, whereas a campaign to influence the governmental authorities to act can achieve success in bringing the Yamuna waters back to Vrindavan, whereas bringing the Yamuna waters back to Vrindavan is direct service to the holy dham of Vrindavan. It's a subcategory of Pada Sevanam, one of the 9 processes of devotional service, which is direct service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Whereas the aforementioned campaign can increase the public's appreciation of ISKCON. Whereas the aforementioned campaign can help ISKCON worldwide insofar as ISKCON will be seen at the forefront of the environmental movement. Our humble request on behalf of Yamuna Devi is that all ISKCON temples, congregations, yatras, and devotees, please, 1, include Yamuna Maharani in their daily prayers, 2, explain the spiritual importance of Sri Yamuna Maharani to others, 3, organize special kirtans or dedicate existing kirtans to the Yamuna cause, 4, organize special programs or dedicate existing programs to the Yamuna cause, 5, explain the environmental issues to others, especially working through the relevant ISKCON ministries that deal with the environment. 6, create worldwide campaigns. 7, encourage and assist in petitions to accomplish the aforementioned purposes. This is 7. 8, use internal media, such as Back to Godhead, etc., and external media, like newspapers, television, etc., effectively. 9, spread this cause all over the world through print media, audio-video media, SMS, internet, dandavats.com, desiretree.com, etc., social groups, Facebook, etc., etc. There's a video on YouTube video you can see as well. And there's a petition that you can sign at www.saveyamuna.org / sign Yamuna petition. Please also visit the website, saveyamuna.org, to learn more about this issue. So this is the GBC statement. In accordance with that request, I'm complying with my god brother's request to speak about this a little bit this morning. Because we always want to end on an auspicious note, I'm going to now recite for you the Yamunashtaka, which was written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Several Vaishnava acharyas have written prayers, both in the vernacular and in Sanskrit, on Yamuna Devi, including ashtakas like this one. This is from Rupa Goswami's Stavamala. He says, Bhraturantakasya pattane abhipatti harini, prekshayati papino pipapa sindhutarini, niramadhuri bhirapyashesha chitta bandhini, Mam Punato Saravadaravinda Bandhunandini. May Sri Yamuna, who is daughter of Suryadev, who saves one from having to enter the city of her brother, Yamaraj, the sight of whom enables the most sinful person to cross the ocean of sin, and the sweetness of whose water charms the hearts of everyone, may she always purify me. Hari Vari Dhari Abhimandito Rukhandava, Pundarika Mandalo Dhyaranta Jali Tandava, Snana Kama Pamaro Grapapa Sampadandhini, Mam Punato Sarvadaravinda Bandhunandini. May Sri Yamuna, who is the daughter of Suryadev, and who decorates the great Khandava forest with a stream of pleasant waters, who is filled with lotus flowers and dancing birds, and who blinds the terrible sins of they who even desire to bathe in her, always purify me. Shikarabhimrishtajantudurvipakamardhani nandanantarantaranga bhaktipuravarthani tirasangamabhilashi mangalanubandhani mam punato sarvadaravinda bandhunandini. May Sri Yamuna, who is the daughter of Suryadev, a drop of whose water destroys the sinful reactions of the people, who creates a great flood of confidential pure devotional service to Lord Nandanandan, and who brings auspiciousness to they who desire to live on her shore, always purify me. Dvipa Chakravala Jushta Sapta Sindhu Bhedani, Sri Mukunda Nirmitoru Divyakeli Vedani, Kanti Kandali Bhirindra Nila Vrindanindani, Mam Punato Sarvadaravinda Bandhunandani. May Sri Yamuna, who is daughter of Suryadev, who divides the seven oceans and seven continents, who witnessed many of Lord Mukunda's transcendental pastimes, and whose splendor rebukes a host of sapphires, always purify me. Maturena mandalena charunabhimandita premanadha vaishnavadha varasanaya pandita urmi dorvelasa patmanabha paravandini mam punato sarvadaravinda bandhunanini. May Sri Yamuna, who is the daughter of Suryadev, who is decorated by the beautiful district of Mathura, who expertly protects they who follow the path of loving devotional service, and who with playful motions of the waves that are her arms offers respectful obeisances to Lord Padmanabha's lotus feet, may always purify me. Ramyatira Rambhamana Gokadamba Bhushita Divyaganda Bhakkadamba Pushparaji Rushita Nandasunu Bhakta Sangha Sanghamabhi Nandini Mam Punato Sarvadaravinda Bandhunandini. May Sri Yamuna, who is the daughter of Suryadev, whose charming shores are decorated with many lowing cows, who is filled with many splendid and fragrant kadamba flowers, and who is delighted to have the company of Lord Krishna's devotees, always purify me. Phulla Paksha Mallikaksha Hansa Laksha Kujita Bhakti Vidha Deva Siddha Kinnarali Pujita Tira Gandhavaha Gandha Janmar Bandharantani Mam Punato Sarvadaravinda Bandhunandini. May Sri Yamuna, who is the daughter of Suryadev, who is filled with the warblings of thousands of joyful Mallikaksha swans, who is worshipped by the Vaishnavas, Devas, Siddhas, and Kinnaras, and the slightest scent of the fragrant breeze moving on whose shores stops the cycle of repeated birth and death, always purify me. Chidvilasa varipura bhurbhuaswarapini kirtitapi durmadoru papamarmatapini ballavendra nandarangaraga bhanga gandhani mam punato sarvadaravinda bandhunandani. May Sri Yamuna, who is daughter of Suryadev, who is the famous, splendid, spiritual river flowing throughout the Bhu, Bhua, and Swa planets, who burns away the greatest sins, and whose fragrant scented ointments from Lord Krishna's transcendental body always purify me. Tushta buddhi rashta kena nirmilonam icheshtatam Tvamanena bhanuputri sarva deva veshtatam Yastaviti varhayasa sarva papa mochne Bhakti Puramasya Devi Pundarika Lochane. O lotus-eyed one, O daughter of Suryadev, O rescuer from all sins, please flood with pure devotional service that person who, reciting these eight prayers with a cheerful heart, glorifies you, whose waves are pure and splendid, and who is accompanied by all the demigods. So we have this extreme irony in the modern age that Yamuna, who is so purifying that the mere thought of bathing in her purifies one of unlimited sins, she's now completely covered with so many ugly contaminations, as if the offerings of our hearts. Anyway, there was one article I read in Hindi written by Giridhari Khandelwala, one of Vrindavan's upstanding citizens. He was describing that even 30 years ago, the Yamuna River was so clear that if you threw a coin into the water, you could see it sink to the bottom. I remember when I first went to India around that time, I was happily bathing in the Yamuna and drinking deep the water and without getting sick. If you do that now, you're asking for serious trouble. The UN, some 20 years ago or so, declared the Yamuna a dead river. So, then if it's possible to kill a goddess, then we have to consider, is the Yamuna River something other than the goddess? Or is the goddess only the river, only a body of water? Who is she? She's both at the same time, in exactly the same way that Shiva and Vishnu are one and different simultaneously. She is the river and she is a goddess. But those who see her as the goddess, in the river, as the river, they will not contaminate her like this. And those who do not hear and chant about Yamuna, they're the ones who are affecting this. Actually, it's not only an offense to Yamuna Devi, but it's been pointed out by the GBC that it's actually a hazard for everyone's health, anyone downstream, all the way to Prayag and lower than that. So we have a duty now, and we can serve Krishna's devotees. That's considered to be higher than serving Krishna directly. And who can be a higher devotee than Yamuna Devi, most dear river? Jiva Goswami says the spiritual benefit of Yamuna Devi is 100 times more than that of the Ganga. So it's interesting that Prabhupada wrote, if possible, we can bathe in these rivers, because it doesn't seem to be possible nowadays, but we can change that. This situation has not always been like this. It's only 20 or 30 years old, especially since the 1980s, when a number of industries moved in and started putting their effluent into the river. It can be turned around. The Yamuna can be allowed to flow from Himalayas straight to Vrindavan, and the amount of sewage that Delhi puts into the Yamuna can be shunted into other areas. The problem can be fixed. And there are hopeful signs as a result of determined campaigns over the course of about a decade or so. The government has reacted to some degree. Maybe now with a new government in India, things will change as well. Positively, we hope so. But we should do something. And as the GBC advises, we should pray and we should hear and chant increasingly about Yamuna Devi. I just thought I would add that point. I thought it was somewhat related to today's verse, being that the devotees here are praying for relief from the burning toxins that are surrounding them. So I'll stop here, but if anybody has any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Poison is coming out of this, and this obviously is we know that it's a lila pastime. Right now, the description that you just made, you know, all the things that you were just describing about the Yamuna, is this it's not a pastime, it's full of ignorance, or it's an act of demoniac civilization, and also Bharatavarsha, the place of religiosity, you know. So, can we say that these are the biggest demons there? How do you make up of this?
Are you asking if the pollution of the Yamuna is a transcendental lila or is it someone's offense?
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, the pastime here is the lila of the Lord with the demigods and the demons. They try to extract nectar. Poison is coming out, but it's still within the pastime. Mm. These facts, separate facts that you just described, it's just full of ignorance. It's just some sect of demoniac people doing that.
You know, the context in which we were discussing this the other day was Krishna's pastimes in which the Yamuna was polluted by Kaliyanag. Kaliyanag was envious, and actually Kaliyanag had not polluted the entire current of the river, but only a small lake that had separated from the river, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But now the entire length of the Yamuna is being contaminated with similar toxins, and so it would seem to be a worse offense. And it's hard for me to imagine that it's divinely ordained, but I don't know these things. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay, so we can stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Great to see you and hear from you. What's your contact information for?